The Comforting Delights of Beulah Land. The word Beulah means married. So you've come to the land of, like I said, the renewal of their vows with Christ. And it represents the sweet peace and confidence the believers should experience toward the close of their lives. A couple of verses here that we can look at. Isaiah 64, verses 4 to 12. Isaiah says, "From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No one has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness, Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praised you, has been burned by fire, and all our pleasant places have become ruins. Will you restrain yourself at these things, O Lord? Will you keep silent and afflict us so terribly?" And then Song of Solomon, Chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. "My beloved speaks and says to me, 'Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land.'" What is Beulah Land? Where are they? What do you think Beulah Land is? Yeah. Right. Old age. Which not all of us are going to die when we're old. Many will die in our youth. But nevertheless, it is that place to which we come on the verge of death. What is before them? The city itself. But what lies between them and the city? The river of death. So when they come to this place called Beulah, when they come to the Beulah land, they come to a place of the greatest joys. They have essentially finished their pilgrimage. They're coming to that place where they lie in wait. "Lord, I am sick with love. I am sick with love. How long will you tarry?" Nearing death, near to the time when they will cross over the river and go to be with the Lord of hosts, when they will finally arrive at the city for which they began their pilgrimage. Come to that place of sweet passing. Now, not all Christians are going to die so sweetly. Not all Christians come to this place. But ideally so, we do. Ideally so, we come to a place at the end of our pilgrimage when we have labored and fought and strove to such a degree that we are ready to go. Did not Paul come to this place? "I have fought the fight. I have run the race. I'm ready." And it's interesting, there are many books you could take up and read that would give you a record of some of the last words of the saints. And by those last words of holy ones, you can get a sense of what Beulah is like. A calm, restful peace. Death is painful. Death is difficult. The parting from family, the leaving of all things behind. And yet what we embrace, the company to which we come, Him to whom we come, even Christ Himself, all of these things completely tip the scales. And we are glad to part and be with Christ. We are glad to pass over. And knowing that, and enjoying by the grace of God, the comfort and the assurance of the passive and the active obedience of Christ, we can come to death with joy and delight. That's really where these pilgrims are at. In Beulah, the Christian enjoys visions of eternity, longings to depart and be with the lover of his soul, desires to be free from the sin that continually tries to entrap them, and desires for fellowship with the saints in heaven. A longing to be free. A sense that, yes, my time has come. A sense that we are on the edge of death, and because we know we're there, this longing to part. James Janeway wrote a book called A Token for Children, and we read it in our family some time ago. And very moving conversion stories of little ones, conversion of children. And not just their conversion, but more importantly, their death. All of them coming to their death at a very young age for various reasons, sickness or whatever it might be. But children 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, and most of these children were in his own congregation. And he recorded all of these children passing into eternity. And it was such a delight to read the stories of these children in Beulah Land, longing to be with the Lord, a sense of the nearness of God, the nearness of the angels, a deep craving and longing for the salvation of parents yet unsaved, or our loved ones still lost, crying out, you know, as those who were on the verge of heaven, and yet pleading with those still having a foot in hell, that they would come to Christ before it's too late. Beholding even there on their deathbed, beholding the sights, the glories. Here we read of the radiance of the city. The radiance of the celestial city is so bright now. They see things they could never see before. And yet as they look back, they don't see what they saw. Things are so far behind them now. Troubles so long laid down. And now they're on the verge of crossing over, that the brightness of heaven shines upon them and they can behold it in a greater beauty than ever before. Here in Beulah, the Christian's engagement to Christ is renewed as the wedding day draws near. What is our wedding day? Our death. Death is our wedding day. Death is when we finally receive the embrace of Christ. Death is finally when Christ kisses us as His bride. We have waited and longed for it. Christ has told us of our beauty. Christ has called us to draw near. And we have pleaded, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Where is my love? My love, where is my love? Finally in our death, we embrace the bridegroom and He embraces His bride. So our engagement, our conversion is our engagement to be the Lord's. And every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are pledging and renewing that engagement to be the Lord's. Our membership vows as we join Christ's church is an engagement to be the Lord's, to be holy, to be chaste, to be faithful and loyal to Him as our husband, our bridegroom. And we go throughout our pilgrimage longing for the day when we as the bride will be presented by the Father to the bridegroom. And that is that at the day of our death, the best day of our life is the day of our death, for it is the beginning of eternal life in its fullness. Beulah is a place of constant sunshine with no backward look. Constant sunshine. The shining of the sun, the shining of Christ, the shining of the glories of heaven being so near, but no backward look. You know, we come to a lot of places in our life. But we are happy to be where we are. There's a sense of achievement. There's a sense of arrival. Though, as Paul says, we've not yet arrived. We would never say such things. We know we haven't arrived at perfection or a fullness of enjoyment. But we do arrive at certain places in our life of Christian growth and maturity and attainment. Places of illumination and understanding. And we feel as though this is great. This is wonderful. We sense the beauty of Christ in a way we had not before. We see a maturity in ourselves that the Lord has worked, that we are so encouraged by. But there's always a backward look. There's always a backward look. There's always the nagging. There's always Satan who comes along and reminds us of the filth, of the scum, of the sin that still resides in us. We have not yet arrived. We have still so much farther to go. Indeed, as we said some time ago, the closer we come to the Lord, the closer we grow to Christ, the more sin we see in us. But this is a place of such peace and pleasantries, such dainties, even as Bunyan put it, that there's no backward look. He describes it by saying, the valley of the shadow of death is out of reach. The terror of giant despair cannot influence this region. And the dismal outline of Doubting Castle is lost to view. Remember the troubles he faced in these places? The troubles of the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of humiliation, followed immediately after. The troubles faced by the beating and the abuse of giant despair in the dungeon. The dungeon of Doubting Castle. Thoughts of suicide, you remember? Thoughts of ending it all. Giant despair's wife, diffidence, directing him and how to treat them, to drive them to such despair that they would not even pray, could not even pray. And yet all of this is gone. A place with no backward look. It's a place of encouragement with a forward look because of the nearness to the time of passing. Eyes set on the city and on the Lord. It's a place of fellowship with shining ones. Right? Bunyan draws out that it's in this time that there is often an accompaniment by the angels. Many have said they see shining ones on their deathbed. We'll never know until we come to that place for sure. But Bunyan has drawn it so. The shining ones coming along as an encouragement, as a witness, as a testimony. Ready at those last moments to carry the soul forward, even as they do once hopeful and Christian come over the river of death. It is the shining ones which carry them up to the gate, to the celestial city. So he draws it out as a fellowship with angels. It's a place where Christ's rejoicing and covenant love hovers. Christ rejoicing, reminding us that we are the Lord's. Reminding us that we are God's private possession. Reminding us that we have been the beneficiaries of grace, mercy, and love. And when we think back, again, upon our troubles and especially upon our sins and all our failures, what a delight it is to remember Christ in His righteousness. That our confidence and our peace in death is not all that we have done, but it's whose we are. That's our only hope in death. It's whose we are. And so Bunyan says it's a place of Christ rejoicing, a place where His covenant love hovers over us and reminds us that God has bound us to Himself, that God will keep His word, and that the river need not be feared. It still lay ahead of us, but we need not be afraid of it, for God will take us over safely. Machen, J. Gresham Machen, who, of course, was the founder of our denomination, upon his deathbed said, "Thank God for the active obedience of Christ. Thank God for the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us. Because when we come to our deaths, there is no other peace but knowing that we are already robed in the righteousness of the perfect one. And that when we pass in death and come immediately before the Lord and the judgment bar, we shall be acquitted. We shall be received. We shall be rewarded for the righteousness that covers us, which is not ours. But we shall receive the reward, the eternal reward of the righteousness that has been given to us, never to be taken away. Thank God for the active obedience of Christ. I meant to look up different statements of the saints at their death. I do have some books that record those things. It would have been encouraging to hear some of what others have said as they came to this place. As they draw nearer the celestial city, its radiance is overwhelming. Their heart increases with desire and their strength increases. Affections are stirred. It's hard to remember heaven when the world is so distracting. It's hard to have affection for heaven when the world is so seductive. But when we come to our deathbeds, when we come to Beulah Land, it is a time when our affections are stirred. Everything is behind us. Oftentimes in so much pain are the effects of old age, the inability to do what we once did, the inability to go out and do. And there we wait and long for the Lord to come and take us home. And so our heart increases in that time, especially with desire, and a spiritual strength increases. Well, the wonderful thing, and I think, you know, the lesson that we're to draw from this, and what I think Bunyan is trying to relate, is that God is with us in this very difficult time. I mean, take just what we've considered just in our few minutes already. Put yourself then in the shoes or in the bed of an unbeliever. None of this can be said. None of this is understood or received or appreciated. No comfort, no hope, no sweetness, no shining ones gathering near, demons gathering around ready to drag the soul to hell, no shining ones to lift the soul to heaven. It's the very opposite of the comfort, the peace, the joy, the love that is experienced at that time, ideally, not always, but ideally by the Christian. So this should be very encouraging to us, and that's really what he's trying to establish. This place, Beulah, has a gardener. And the gardener gives them a tour of this place. He says, "The land provides orchards and gardens and vineyards. And these are for the comfort for future distress, food for future health, meditation for future assurance, and rest for future struggle." Meeting every single need as they come to the river of death which lays ahead of them. All these are for the pilgrim's equipping as they near the river of death. We're told that they rest in this place for a while. We're told that from this place they get a wonderful view of the city. But again, what lies between is the final difficulty. What lies between is this river of death. Remember, they were told they had two difficulties still ahead of them, the river of death and the scrutiny at the gate, the scrutiny at the celestial gate. And of course, they have no troubles there, do they? For they have their certificate, faith given to them even by Christ. Now I want to read from Cheever's lectures. If you take that page I gave to you, I was going to summarize what George Cheever said about this place, but I thought it just easier to print it out for you. And we'll go across the page and then down to the bottom as you can follow the numbers there, and I'll read this for us. We are now in our pilgrimage as far as to the land Beulah. Would that we were all there in reality and could abide there while we stay on this side of the river of death. But the land Beulah, lovely as it is only one stage in our pilgrimage, and that a very advanced stage. And it is observable how Bunyan makes his pilgrims go from strength to strength by a gradual progress, from one degree of grace, discipline, and glory to another, in accordance with that sweet scripture image. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So the pilgrims go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appearing before God. They first, from the house beautiful, had a view of the delectable mountains. Then from the delectable mountains they had a view of the celestial city. Then in land Beulah they even meet with the inhabitants of that city. In this land they also hear voices coming out of the city, and they draw so near to it that the view of its glory is almost overpowering. Would to God that we all did better know the meaning of these images by our own blissful experience, for certainly the imagination alone cannot interpret them to us. A very near, deep, blissful communion with God is here portrayed, and that beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, by which daily the soul is changed more and more into the same image. Here the ministering spirits that do wait upon us are more frequent and full in their companies. Here the spirit of adoption is breathed over the soul, and it walks and talks with Christ, almost as Moses and Elias in the Mount of Transfiguration. No other language than that of Bunyan himself, perused in the pages of his own sweet book, could be successful in portraying this beauty and glory. For now he seems to feel that all the dangers of the pilgrimage are almost over, and he gives up himself without restraint so entirely to the sea of bliss that surrounds him, and to the gales of heaven that are wafting on him, and to the sounds of melody that float in the whole air around him, that nothing in the English language can be compared with this whole closing part of the pilgrim's progress, for its entrancing splendor, yet serene and simple loveliness. The coloring is that of heaven in the soul, and Bunyan has poured his own heaven entranced soul into it, heaven entranced soul into it. With all its depth and power, there is nothing exaggerated, and it is made up of the simplest and most scriptural materials and images. We seem to stand in a flood of light poured on us from the open gates of paradise. It falls on every leaf and shrub by the wayside. It is reflected from the crystal streams that between grassy banks wind amidst groves of fruit trees into vineyards and flower gardens. These fields of Beulah are just below the gate of heaven, and with the light of heaven there come floating down the melodies of heaven, so that here there is almost an open revelation of the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. During the last days of that eminent man of God, Dr. Payson, he once said, "When I formerly read Bunyan's description of the land Beulah, where the sun shines and the birds sing day and night, I used to doubt whether there was such a place. But now my own experience has convinced me of it, and it infinitely transcends all my previous conceptions." The best possible commentary on the glowing descriptions in Bunyan is to be found in that very remarkable letter dictated by Dr. Payson to his sister a few weeks before his death. Were I to adopt the figurative language of Bunyan, I might date this letter from the land Beulah, of which I have been for some weeks a happy inhabitant. The celestial city is full in my view. Its glories have been upon me, its breezes fan me, its odors are wafted to me, its sounds strike upon my ears, and its spirit is breathed into my heart. Nothing separates me from it but the river of death, which now appears but as an insignificant rill that may be crossed at a single step whenever God shall give permission. The Sun of Righteousness has been gradually drawing nearer and nearer, appearing larger and brighter as he approached, and now he fills the whole hemisphere, pouring forth a flood of glory in which I seem to float like an insect in the beams of the sun, exulting yet almost trembling while I gaze on this excessive brightness and wondering with unutterable wonder why God should deign thus to shine upon a sinful worm. There is perhaps in all our language no record of a Christian's happiness before death so striking as this. What is it not worth to enjoy such consolations as these in our pilgrimage, and especially to experience such foretaste of heaven as we draw near to the river of death, such revelations of God in Christ as can swallow up the fears and pains of dying, and make the soul exult in the vision of a Savior's loveliness, the assurance of a Savior's mercy? There is no self-denial, no toil, no suffering in this life which is worthy to be compared for a moment with such blessedness. What a beautiful explanation and a beautiful commentary on this section of Beulah Land. A wonderful place to which the Lord brings His pilgrims who by grace, through faith, walk with Him all their days. We have said before that the only blessed death is those who die in the Lord. But in order to die in the Lord, you must live in the Lord. And these pilgrims, we have followed them all year long through their journeys, and they have seen many troubles and trials. They themselves have turned away from the path many times by the sinfulness of their heart. And yet God's grace and mercy is sufficient still. And He has brought them back and restored them again and again and again. And so that when they come to this place, they are comforted, not in their great achievements, but again, only in His grace and forgiveness and in the righteousness of Christ that they have received by God's grace. And so our encouragement is to long for our wedding day, to long for that day, to pant as the deer for the water, that, as Paul says, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come for your church. Come for me. Come and take me home. For there is no better day for the Christian than his dying day. We could read the many testimonies of the martyrs who, the covenanters and the martyrs who came to the deathbeds rejoicing that they had come to their wedding day. A beautiful day, no better day, no more glorious day. But the encouragement is that God gives us grace in that hour to face the death. And Christian, interestingly, as Bunyan draws it out, Christian will come out of Beulah Land and step into the river with great fear, almost forgetting all the things that he enjoyed, the orchards and the vineyards in Beulah. But yet hopeful, will imbibe all that is here, and he will step into that river of death in complete peace and even carry his brother over it. And they will both come to the other side. Many comforts for the saint. Many comforts for those who know the Lord and can die in Christ. So let us look forward to that day. And let us prepare for that day. I have an interesting picture that Jeremy Taylor wrote a book, of course, many years ago. He wrote two books, The Art of Holy Living, and the second, The Art of Holy Dying. The Puritans talked and thought and preached much on dying well, because that's really where it all comes together. As Bunyan says, once you go over the river, there's no coming back to redo things. There's no second chance. You either die well or you die poorly. And if the day of our death is the day when we go beyond the days of the offers of mercy and grace, and we will see those days and hear those sermons no more, then it is absolutely necessary, it is eternally necessary, that we die well. And so when we think about Beulah and the pilgrims that we see in this place, it reminds us that we need to prepare to die well. We don't know when our day will be. And this picture that I have in Jeremy Taylor's book is a picture of a beautiful lady looking in a mirror, and the reflection is that of a skeleton. And the inscription on the bottom is, "Remember, you know not when." And one of the ways in which we can profit from our trials and our afflictions, our pains of body and pains of mind and pains of soul, is to let those pains and distresses and discouragements and frustrations, let those things remind us of death, that we might make preparations for it, that we might be ready. And what is the wasting away of the body but the reminder that this body is but a temporary place for our souls? It is wasting away. It will waste away. It is going to die. It is going to come to old age, ideally, and pain mostly. But then we pass beyond those things, and the body is made new. So one of the ways we profit in those times is to think of death and think of your readiness for it. Because you don't know when that river will have to be crossed. But when it has to be crossed, it has to be crossed. And it will be crossed by all of us. As they will be told when they ask for an alternate route, none have found the alternate route except for Enoch and Elijah. All others have passed through that river, and so must we. The days of being taken away supernaturally are over. We all now come to death. We all now walk the way of our Savior, and we come to die. So let us be ready, that we might rest in our beds in a land of Beulah, without fear, without doubt, but in full confidence and assurance and peace. So it's a wonderful and encouraging place to be. Amen.